Westgate Chapel. Please stand as you're able and join us in worship.
Westgate family. Isn't that just the perfect way to start the morning? Yeah. My name is Michaela Raglan. I am the Student Ministries Assistant here at Westgate Chapel. And first of all, happy Valentine's Day. And we are so happy to have you join us, especially those of you who are joining us online and those of you that this is your first time here today. Welcome. As you were walking in, hopefully you saw that we have the Connect card and the sermon notes out there. If you didn't grab those, there should be a few Connect cards in the pew in front of you. For those of you online, those links should be right under the video. Go ahead, if you have any prayer requests or you want information about volunteering, go ahead and fill that out at the end of service. You can take those and put those in the baskets at the back of the room. If you're new with us, we would still like you to fill that out. But go ahead and take it just outside these doors to our guest services, where we have team members who would love to meet you and say hi and answer any questions you may have. Also, we do have a gift for you, and those are always fun, so check that out. Church family, can I please pray with you as we continue in worship? Father God, thank you for the opportunity to be here today, to come together and worship you. Lord, I pray that this morning you would open hearts and ears to hear what it is you have for us today. Would you ignite a fire in our heart that we would then take this message and just share it with all of your family around the world, Lord? We thank you for your goodness, Lord, and your love. Amen.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience
sing. Great are
pour out our praise to you, holy, great, great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord.
One more time.
God, that is our prayer. That is our cry. For you are great. May all the earth, God, may all the earth celebrate that. May all the earth see your greatness on display. May they see it in our lives. God, teach us the importance of knowing you more intimately, God. Teach us what it means to follow hard after you each and every day. Jesus, we worship you this morning. We worship you alone. Oh, Father, how we love you. And how you love us. It's in the precious name of Jesus that all God's people pray. Amen.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you, worship team. It's great worshiping with our Westgate family, isn't it? Well, I'm so glad to be here this morning. If we haven't met before, my name is Mike Judge. I'm the Adult Ministries pastor here, and I get the privilege of preaching week 3 in our sermon series called Follow Me. You guys, this has been a fun series. Pastor Rob and I have been going through, we're teaching through what it means to be a disciple, and that phrase, follow me, is really an invitation that Jesus gave to the people listening to him to say, would you follow after me, and would you be disciples, and follow my way of life? And that's something that we have all been called to do. And so in this series, we're talking about what does biblical discipleship look like? And kind of as we go, we're going to be talking about ways that sometimes people, the church, et cetera, can get off track from that and maybe misunderstand what discipleship is. And so this is a great foundational series about what this looks like to be a disciple in the world today. And so, really looking forward to it. And the topic for this morning is that disciples are part of the church. Disciples are part of the church. And as we think about the New Testament, this is something that we see all over the place, that if you are a disciple, that you are engaged in the church body. And so we have to talk about it during the sermon series. It's just a foundational building block to discuss. And so as we jump into this, I want to just begin by asking everybody two questions for you just to think about in your brain to get our juices flowing this morning. And the first question I want you to think about is that if someone were to walk up to you and ask you to explain what the church is to them, what would you say? Someone were to ask you what the church is, what would you say? The people. Yes, now think about this in your brain, and I love the response. I want everybody to think about their own definition. Thank you for that. But just one moment, just think about it, your own answer. You got a good clue from the audience. And then secondly, I want you to ask yourself, once you've come up with an answer, I want you to think about where that answer came from, okay? So you have this definition, but where did you learn that? Think about that for a second. It's interesting. I think as I talk to people, as I interact with people, so two of the leading answers, I think, for where these come from, maybe whether we realize it or not, is that number one, that we have a kind of approach of understanding the church to be something that kind of evolves over time and just kind of morphs and just develops, kind of feel it out as you go sort of style. And so maybe as you're involved with the church or you're at a congregation, et cetera, you're kind of just continually building what it means to be, what a church is and what it means to be a part of it. And so there's kind of this kind of casual thing that happens. And then there's the second approach that I think is very common, which is taking what we experienced growing up for the church to mean, and then kind of and taking that with us into our older years, et cetera, and just whatever that is, whether there's a lot of good stuff, which we know that there's probably a lot of good stuff being taught, as well as maybe some bad stuff about what the church is, or maybe some misconceptions that we've inherited. And that's just a reality of two of the ways we kind of come up with this definition. And I just want to point out at the beginning of our message that these are not not the best ways to figure out what our theology is, what we believe. I think the best way that we find out what to believe is from the Bible. And if we're not careful to slow down and jump into scriptures and really see what does God say the church is and what it was created to be, we might end up with some different definitions because of all these other factors kind of influencing us. And so that's what we're doing today. We're going to be diving into that, and that's how we're going to begin. And it's important that we do have this picture because Jesus cares a lot about how we view the church. He cares a lot about how we view the church. This isn't something that we can be loosey-goosey about. I just like saying loosey-goosey. But this isn't something that we can be loosey-goosey about, right? This isn't something that we can just kind of have a laissez-faire attitude about figuring out the church. It's something that's so important. And so we're going to do that today. And our sermon outline this morning is going to be just three parts. Part one is going to be, what is the church? What is the church? Kind of a look at that overview. And once we have that foundation, we're going to be discussing what a disciple's role is in the church individually. And then lastly, I'm excited, we're going to be doing a self-assessment. I love self-assessments. I made one for us this morning just to help us make this personal and to think about it some more. But how are we doing with thinking about and being a part of the church? And so that's what we're doing. It's going to feel maybe a little bit more like a faster paced overview of some of these things because, friends, there is so much we could have talked about this morning. And I want to talk about a lot of it, but kind of boiled it down into the big picture key stuff this morning. And I think it's going to be a good time. And so let's start with part one. What is the church? What is the church? Well, the Greek word for church is ekklesia. Ekklesia, and the theological term, just so you guys know, just random trivia, is ecclesiology. It's the study and understanding of what the church is. And so what we're doing right now is 10 minutes of Ecclesiology 101 with Pastor Mike. Is anybody excited about this? I got a few people. Awesome. I hear you cheering through the cameras this morning too, our live stream friends. And so here we go. This is just the main things. We'll start with the definition of the church. A definition of the church, great place to start. And the definition would be the community of all true believers. Community for all true believers. And what's important to note here is that I did not say a large white building on Wilford Drive. That was not my definition. And there is a misconception that our friend highlighted out in the audience this morning that the church is a building, but really it's a community of people, right? And that people, a group can scale in size. We see things, what's known as the universal church, which is talking about all believers. That's what that definition is. Some would argue for all time, all believers for all time is what the church is. Then there's little, smaller groups like the Ohio Church or the Toledo Church or Westgate Chapel, it can be referred to as the church. And so it kind of scales, that term scales. But really, when we talk about the church, we're talking about community of believers. All right, second question, or second part. Where did the church come from? And this is a really big deal. And the question really is it something that God created or is it something that people created? And let's look at the answer in scripture. It's God, by the way, just a clue. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. It says, he, which is God, exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. That's a lot. And he subjected everything under his feet and appointed him, Christ, as head over everything for the church, which is his body, his body. And so there's a lot in there. We could talk for about all the theological ramifications of this for a while. But what I want us to hone in on this morning is that number one, God raised Jesus from the dead. There was a work that Jesus did. And that because of that, in that process, maybe even since that, he's been placed over all things, including, second part, specifically the church. And the Bible says that the church is Christ's body. And so basically there's this picture of this work that is done through Christ's death and resurrection of bringing believers to himself in this family, this body of Christ. And that is what we know today as the church, the community that exists of believers. Okay, so why is this important? Why am I making such a big deal about this question of where it came from? And the reason why is because your understanding of this question will dramatically change the way you think about church in your mind. If church is just think about this with me. If church is just a group of people who like to come together sometimes on Sunday, who maybe want to have some structure to their faith, who maybe like to just kind of do some things together, and it's just a human institution that people run, that it's about, you know, these people, that it's human created, then it's not really a big deal if it's if you're involved with it. But if the church is something that God created, that God leads, and that he loves so much that he was willing to die on the cross for it, then that changes things. And that changes things, doesn't it? Because if the church is that big of a priority to God, then it needs to be that big of a priority for us. If the church is that big of a priority for God, then it needs to be that big of a priority for us. It's not a casual thing. It's not an optional thing. The church is a God thing. And he has specifically called disciples to be a part of it in a significant way. And so, in review so far, we know that the church is a community of believers. We know that God created it, and it's important. And the last thing I want to cover is, what is the purpose of the church? And there's three parts we're going to mention. Those parts are to worship God, to minister to believers, and to minister to the world. Let's talk about those one at a time. The first one is to worship God. And this is one that I think is the most often forgot part of the purpose of the church. And it's really in relationship to God. Our purpose is to worship him. And a lot of times people think, hey, this is done through music, which we just did. And it can be done through worship. This can also be done very often in our life, our actions, the things we do as believers. And I want to just pause, though, and highlight a misconception that people have. And that is that sometimes I think people think about God as this like emotionless being, like almost some sort of supernatural robot who's in heaven, who isn't really connected to creation and the things that are happening here on earth, etc. I think there can be that perception that God is disconnected. And what the Bible makes clear is that this couldn't be more false. God has emotions. He is connected to what's going on here in ways that we cannot fathom. And one of the things that scripture says that disciples are supposed to do is worship him, because he experiences that. He receives that. And that's part of what it means to be a church. There's a bunch of passages we could mention. But that's a picture we have in scripture. And I think the disconnect that I want to highlight is that sometimes people think about the church being a place that we go for us, right? We go to church for us, for what it's going to be about us, what we're going to receive from a message, from our experience. But the reality is that being a part of the church isn't just for us. It's for us and for God too, because it's a chance for us to worship God in community the way that scripture spells out for it. And when we skip church, we skip being a part of the body, we're also skipping out on God having the opportunity to receive our worship in that corporate church setting, as we see in scripture. It's a big deal. I think something we forget about. And the last two parts of this purpose, I'm going to just kind of move through quickly, because we're going to talk about them more in a second, is that we're called to minister to believers, is part two. And the reality is that the part of the church's goal is to bring people forward, to care for, to grow believers into maturity. And that's what Paul says in Colossians 1:28. He says, him, Jesus, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ, right? We're bringing believers up, we're growing them up, we're developing them. And we do this through teaching, we do this through journeying through life together, we do this through accountability and discipline, right? There's this picture in scripture of the church being a force that helps steer and course correct and help people get on track with the faith. And so that's always that we do ministry to believers. And then ministry to the world is just primarily in two buckets. It's evangelism, right? Us telling the good news of Jesus to others and proclaiming the gospel, teaching them about what Jesus did for us, as well as acts of love and service of the church going out and being a force of love in the way we help others emotionally, physically, spiritually, et cetera, and just doing actions of love as well. And there's, I'm really simplifying it, but I'm just trying to kind of paint a big picture here. And so part of the application for us this morning is that not only does every disciple need to be present in the church, but they also need to be engaged in fulfilling the purpose of the church, right? We can't just show up and be kind of warm bodies or whatever that expression is, right? God wants us to actually be engaged in all three parts of this purpose in an intentional way. And it's this sort of intentional purpose is a big part of the reason why at Westgate Chapel, we have something called church membership. Church membership. And I teach the church membership class. It's one of my favorite things I do here. And it's a, if you don't know what that is, I just want to share with you a definition of what it means to be a member of the church. And it's this. Church membership is a formal relationship between a local church, We're talking about the local church here. And a Christian characterized by the church's affirmation and oversight of a Christian's discipleship and the Christian's submission to living out his or her discipleship in the care of the church. And I'll be the first one to admit, you guys, that was like a run-on sentence. It had a lot of stuff going on to it. And so what are the three main parts? Number one, it's a relationship between a church and a Christian. All right, part one. Part two, the church is saying, yes, I affirm, I have headship over, I'm gonna lead and direct and be a part of this in this disciple's life. And then part three is that the Christian is also coming to the church and saying, yes, I'm gonna be a disciple in this congregation, I'm gonna come underneath its banner, and we're gonna do this church together. And it's that relationship. And so in summary, and this is on your notes if you have those, church membership is all about the church taking specific responsibility for the member and the member taking specific responsibility for the church. And what I like about this definition is that it implies that every member of the church is taking ownership, in both parts, actually. You know, both sides are coming together and saying, we are going to own this, we're going to do this, we're going to put this on our shoulders, we are committed. It's an intentional thing, it's not a casual thing. And I think I would encourage, and my personal values is that if you are a disciple and you are a part of a church, you should become a member of it because we are going to be bought into doing it together and doing this Christian life the way that the Bible says. And so I think membership is a great part and a step I'd recommend for every disciple in whichever local church that they're involved with, is to make that commitment. And so if you haven't done that yet today, maybe you're watching, you're like, Mike, I haven't done that. I'd like to. Please shoot me an email, mikej@westgatechapel.org. I'll keep you up to date as we organize our next membership class and you can start that process. But please contact me. I'd love to keep you informed as we keep on offering those classes here at Westgate. And so that was Ecclesiology 101 in about 10 minutes. Hopefully you guys got some things out of it. But just the high-level overview review is that the church is a community of committed believers who are united under Christ's leadership as a part of the body and who exist to worship God, minister to believers, and minister to the world. Okay. So lots of content. Let's just take a second though and let's digest. And let me just ask you, does your own personal understanding of the church, maybe that answer I asked you about earlier, does it look like this? Is this a picture that you have in your brain? And then part two of this, and maybe is more helpful even to help you figure out if you do, is does your life and your actions reflect this definition, right? If this is what the church is the way you live your life on a day-to-day basis match the emphasis and weight in the picture that we see in the Bible? It's a tough question, but it's a good one to think about. And I'm sure there's some people here today who can say, yes, Mike, mostly that is what my life looks like. Is that what we've been talking about? But I'm also sure that there's some people here today who are listening online, in person, that would say, you know what? There's some areas where I have to say, no, Mike, that's not what my life or my perspective looks like. And I think the reality is that is actually very normal in today's society. And I think that if we're being just taking a look around us, I think that there's two common misconceptions that people have about the church, and I think they're growing in our society today. Excuse me. And so the two wrong views of the church that I want to highlight are seeing the church as a club. Number one, seeing the church as a club. And I do want to get some audience participation going right now, so feel free to answer. And if you're home and you're on live stream, if you yell really loud, I might be able to hear you. So just go ahead and scream away. Did I just invite the people to do that? Anyways, having some fun this morning. The first wrong view is to see the church as a club. And so what are some examples from your everyday life where you hear the word club used? Shout them out. Where do you hear the word club used in everyday life? Jim, is that what I heard? Okay, what else? What, country club? Polo club? Club at school? What somebody shared about earlier, a club at school, something that they see. Yeah, Sam's Club. Is anybody a member of Sam's Club? Yeah, we got some Sam's Club people around here. These are all places where you become a member, like I said before, and that's interesting. We just used that word to talk about being members of the church. And what's interesting is that I think that society defines it a little differently. In clubs are voluntary organizations where membership is optional for you, right? You don't have to be a member. And then really, they're mostly just places where friendly people, hopefully friendly, get together to talk about things, to do something that they have a common interest in, etc. And I'm not saying this morning that clubs are bad things. They're not. But what I do want to say this morning is I do not believe that God created the church to be a club. He didn't design the church to be something that membership is optional of or something that you just do when you want to make a month-to-month commitment to. He didn't design it to be something that you just casually attend when it fits your schedule and come and go to when you have time. That's not the picture we see in Scripture. So that's the first false view. The second is seeing the church as a service provider, a service provider. All right, so audience participation again. What are some places where we see the church, see the word service provider used in our world today? Cable TV, a restaurant, insurance, internet service provider, right? There's all these people, and these things got our service providers. Thank you, guys. And service providers, in summary, are places where we go to receive some sort of product, right? Isn't that true? We go there to receive a product. And in these services, who is in control? Who is always right? The customer's always right. Yeah, they're in the driver's seat. Because generally speaking, these are one-way relationships. People go to service providers to get what they want, and then they're going to keep on going to the service provider as long as they're receiving the product that they want to receive and they're satisfied with it. And in church, this might look like someone who says, you know what, I'll stay there because I really like the kids' ministry, or because the music is really great, or because I just really like the mauve carpet. I haven't heard anybody say that yet, but we love our carpet here. When the product changes or when they don't like it anymore, these people that see it as a service provider, they leave, right? And the problem with this is that people who view the church this way never make a commitment to the church itself. They're instead making a commitment to the product. Do you see why that's a problem? They're not committed to the body. They're committed to what they're receiving. And these two kind of wrong views, Jonathan Lehman in his book called Church Membership that I sometimes reference in our membership class, he writes about some of the symptoms that can come when people have these attitudes, these perspectives. He says, Christians can think it's fine to attend a church indefinitely without joining as a member. Christians don't integrate their Monday to Saturday lives with the lives of other saints. Christians assume that they can make a perpetual habit of being absent from the church's gatherings a few Sundays a month or more. Christians make major life decisions, such as moving, accepting a promotion, choosing a spouse, etc., without considering the effect that those decisions might have on the family relationships in the church or consulting the pastors or the other members. Christians buy homes or rent apartments with little regard for how factors such as distance and cost will affect their abilities to serve the church. Christians don't realize that they are partly responsible for both the spiritual welfare and the physical livelihood of other members of the church, even members that they have not met. Wow, there's a lot in there. And I think what he summarizes, comes to a conclusion afterwards, he says this quote, he says, the basic disease behind all these symptoms, the disease which I admit courses through my own veins, is the assumption that we have the authority to conduct our Christian lives on our own. We include the church piece when and where we please. Isn't that true? We live in a world where we want to drive. We want to call the shots. We want to be in control. We don't want maybe to be attached to some other organization or some sort of assembly that we have to be a part of. That's more inconvenient. That's more complicated. We'd rather be choosing it however we want to, at our own pace, etc. And because we live in a world that is more about us. And I think what he's highlighting here is the difference between seeing the church in these ways and seeing the church as a family that we are committed to. And I think the picture that we almost are, I'm pushing us to think about this morning is what if we saw the church and the body of Christ as a family, and similarly in ways that we treat our immediate family, right? And so if you were to just think about this, move away from your hometown, leave your family behind, and move across the country, you would probably think about how that would impact that family, right? You'd think about your relationship relationship, the consequences, how you can care for maybe a parent or grandparent, etc. You'd think about those things. You'd feel that tension because you have ownership and you have buy-in and you care about that. And I think similarly, he's suggesting that we should be thinking about how our relationship with the church is impacted and is a huge factor as we live out our lives and we think about what we're doing with our time. That it should be like a family, not like some loose association that we have. And I know that this, for some listeners, might sound pretty foreign. This sort of picture, this sort of buy-in, this sort of commitment. And the reality is that there's a lot of churches today that do not look like this, right? They don't have this sort of dynamic about them. Because looking like this, this kind of church perspective that I'm painting for us, it requires a lot of work. It takes a lot of buy-in. It takes a lot of commitment. But you guys, it is the most beautiful thing when it works out. When people are willing to buy in and are willing to do life together. But unfortunately, we mess it up so often, right? We can be selfish. We can get our priorities out of order. And the results are that a lot of churches struggle to look like this picture. And I think at the heart of this, perhaps, or maybe a big key part of this, is that there's at an individual level, there's churches that are made up of people who have not been willing to say yes to fulfilling the roles that God has called them to take as a part of the church. And so that's part two of our message this morning, is what are the roles of a disciple in the church? And we're going to walk through eight quickly. And again, we're kind of doing the overview here. And there's probably 100 more that I could have put on the list. There's a lot of good verses. I picked eight that I think are important. And we're going to kind of quickly go through those. Number one, to be a united and selfless team member. To be a united and selfless team member. You know, a lot of these aren't in any specific order, but I did really want to start with this one because I think it lays the groundwork for the rest. And the reality is that for a church to look like a biblical church, it requires individual disciples to care more about the collective group than themselves. And this is all over the Bible. One of my favorite passages in scripture is Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. And here's what Paul writes to the church. He says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." Wow. "So that whether I come and see you or am absent," whether he's there or not, "I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." What a picture. Standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. You guys, this is the picture of a highly effective team, right? Of the church working together, being mobilized together and accomplishing things together. And if you've ever been on an effective team before, whether it's a sports team, a church, a group project at school, whether it's a work team, whatever that team is that you've been working on, you know that a good team isn't made up of a bunch of selfish people who care about themselves more than they care about the whole. Is that a safe assessment that we can understand to be true? And I think Paul is saying the same thing about us with the church, that the church is designed to be a group of people who are all solely focused on advancing the kingdom, advancing the gospel, and doing this so much so that there isn't this tension or split because we're all focused on building and doing the same thing. And we're all united as one family. And I think that this is the unity that holds a church together. And this is also the way the churches break down a lot of times is when Satan comes and he tries to tear us apart in our unity together. So this is so important. That's number one. Number two is to relationally engage in the church community. Relationally engage in the church community. You know, God wants us to connect and build Christ-centered relationships with people in the church. You guys, if you've been here before, you've probably heard us talk about this. And the reality is we're going to keep on talking about it because it's so important and it's core at what the church is. If we read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, we hear the author say, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of the Lord drawing near." And the author paints this picture of the church gathering like a family, encouraging us in our faith and really spurring each other on. It's so cool. And it sounds nice, but how do we do that? How do we do that? And I think the first step that we need to consider as disciples is that church probably was never designed to be something that we only do on Sunday mornings. It's probably never designed to be that way. And as Westgate Chapel, we have created a ton of opportunities for people to be involved throughout the week, other times throughout that. I'm talking about ministries that are for the body, ministries that are for the community. We have life groups and classes. We have kids ministry and student ministries that meet throughout the week. We have so many spaces, local outreach you can be involved with, missional outreach you can do around the world. There is so much stuff that we can do. And part of the reason we've done this is because we know that the church needs to be mobilized together. And part of that is having those relational pieces. And we've even offered many of these online for our friends who maybe aren't comfortable right now with the pandemic. There's so many ways to get connected at Westgate Chapel. And the reality is, though, within that you're never going to feel connected at a church if you don't take those intentional steps that are required to connect with other people, right? It requires saying yes to something. It requires taking a step forward. And as a church, our leadership works hard to create these spaces, but those spaces only work when people say yes to them. And I also want to say this morning that honestly, some of the best places of community at Westgate Chapel or at any church aren't the things that are being programmed and being created by the church formally. I think many of the best things are when somebody walks across a pew after church and says, would you like to go get lunch with me? Would you like to come over for dinner? Hey, maybe we can talk. Maybe we can do something. And people are creating their own community. It's the most beautiful thing. And the church starts to feel like family. So I just want to encourage you guys just to be thinking about, are you engaged relationally? And if so, or if not, the step is that we need to say yes to these opportunities. Number three, care for and support each other. Care for and support each other. Part of these relationships means looking out for each other. We do this for all people, but we also do this for in the church. And 1 Corinthians 12, 24 through 26 says, God has so composed the body, which is the church, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And I love this picture here. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And I love this picture of the family moving together in moments of hardship, in moments of celebration. The church moves together and they care for each other and they support each other in those seasons. And I'll be honest, sometimes caring for people takes a lot of work, takes some dying to self, right? It requires taking a phone call at 2 a.m. because somebody's in the middle of a crisis and you're the person that they called out to. And that's not always easy, but I think it's so powerful and it's so important for us to see each other and care for each other like a family like that. And if we're all being honest with ourselves, we know that we haven't gotten to where we are today if other people hadn't been willing to support and care for us. Isn't that true? Like we got here today, not just on our own, but on the shoulders of other people too. And it's part of the job of a disciple to be willing to support others in their times of need, whatever that looks like and is helpful for them. That's number three. Number four is to pursue righteousness together. To pursue righteousness together. God has designed the church to be the first place that we go to for ethical instruction, for counsel, for accountability, for discipline, and all matters that are addressed in God's word, right? The church has been designed to be the place that helps shape people on their journey towards righteousness, to living God-centered lives. And in Paul's letter to the Galatians, he talks about how each member of the body is responsible not just for themselves, but for the other believers in that body, in that church. Let's read that. Galatians 6, verse 1. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught up in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted, right? And so it's not just us taking care of ourselves, which is what a lot of us think about, but it's us thinking about how we can help shepherd and bring forward other people that maybe are struggling. And this requires us to actually get to know each other, and it requires us to actually be intentional with each other. You know, I think one of the greatest things that keeps us from actually being able to be spurring each other on and driving towards righteousness in our own lives is that we aren't always willing to be vulnerable with other people in the church or just in general, right? Where we like to have those surface level conversations. But when we talk about the surface stuff, we don't get to the heart stuff, we're gonna be held back from having those opportunities to actually build and push and speak in and encourage each other towards righteous living the way that God says. And this is something that isn't just for the pastors, it's for everybody to do. And so at Westgate, we have spaces like life groups where you can get known. And that's the whole point. It's doing life together. And hopefully in those spaces that you're finding that real vulnerable community where you can talk about stuff and grow together. We have accountability partners that are meeting kind of organically throughout the church body at different times throughout the week. People are doing that. We're thinking about how we might incorporate mentoring into something that's more prominent at Westgate Chapel for accountability and for growth. And there's a lot of places to do this, but this is a part of what it means for righteous living and for us to be disciples. Number five, is to support the church with your gifts. To support the church with your gifts. We're not supposed to just come to church to get things. We're also called to give, right? This isn't a service provider. And one of the ways that we are called to support that church is using the talents and the abilities that God has given us. And just to be very clear, when I say support the church, I'm talking about the church body here as well as the mission of the church, all right? It's both pieces. And each one of us, God has given unique gifts and abilities, and he says we're not supposed to keep those for ourselves. We're supposed to share those. Excuse me. And the reality is that Pastor Rob's going to be sharing about this more next week, about serving and how that's a part of Disciples' Call. And so I'm not going to cover this a lot. Come back next week, please, and be a part of that message. But this is something that we are called to do, is to use our God-given gifts to go into and to build the kingdom. Number six is to support the church with their time. It just goes with the last one. But the reality is that being a member of the church takes time. And it might naturally even take more time than we want to give. That's a real reality. And there isn't some quota that we're trying to aim for. There's not some like hours of the week commitment that we're trying to hit. But what I do think the biblical picture is disciples are people who come open-handedly before God and they say, God, what do you want me to put in my life? What are the things that you want me to be engaged with? What are the places you want me to serve and do and do community? Whatever that is, God, I want to lay my schedule before you and say yes to the things that means that you want me to say yes to. And that might require life change, that might require sacrifice, but that is what is involved with supporting the church, is having those open-handed conversations and being willing to be honest with ourselves and think about how our life needs to look around that. Supporting the church with our time. Number seven is supporting the church financially. And I'm talking about here the Big C Church, is the Disciples' Call to support financially as God leads. And I think that includes things like missions, that includes people in need, that includes giving to Christian organizations, and that certainly includes giving to local bodies of Christ like Westgate Chapel. And I just want to share that when people give to Westgate Chapel, they're supporting our ministries, they're supporting our staff, they're supporting our facilities, they're supporting those who are in need financially from this church family who need assistance in our benevolence fund. Those things are all part of the giving, and I want you to hear today that we could not do the things that we're doing as a church. We wouldn't have this building, etc., if it wasn't for faithful disciples who said, yes, I'm going to give as a part of my worship to God, as a part of my discipleship. It's a part that we are called to in scriptures. Number eight, and I'm love ending on this one. It's that in all things, help keep the church centered on Jesus. In all things, help keep the church centered on Jesus. Remember what we talked about a little while ago about membership? It's the church taking responsibility for the member. It's the member taking responsibility for the church. And I think the most important thing that we can all do as members of a church is help keep the church focused on Christ and Christ alone. And there's a reality that as broken people, there might be chances that things might drift or things might look a little funny. And I think it's something that it's not just the leadership's job, but it's everybody's job to help take ownership and say, yes, our church, our life group, our little pieces, our kids' ministry, whatever it is, our job is to help keep everything always centered on Jesus Christ all the time. It's on everybody's responsibility list. And if you see things that are an issue, I would encourage you to speak to a leader and say, this is concerning to me. We'd love to hear that feedback. But the reality is that God might want you to do more than just speak. He might want you to be a part of taking action to create change, to help redirect the church in a way that is centered on Jesus. And that could be through leadership. That could be through serving in some capacity. That could be through prayer. Whatever that is, having real conversations, that's something that is on the disciples' job description, so to speak. And that's something that is so important for us. And so those are the eight responsibilities that I kind of mapped out, the roles of a disciple in a church. Like I said before, there's a lot more we could discuss, but these are the ones I wanted to mention. And it's these biblical instructions, like the ones I've been talking about, that have played us a huge role in shaping our church's mission and vision at Westgate Chapel. You might have heard a few weeks ago, Pastor Rob's been talking about our kind of updated mission statement here at the church. I just want to share that with you guys because it's so good to see how that connects with these Bible verses we're talking about. Here at Westgate Chapel, our mission is to live out an authentic faith by growing with Jesus, engaging in community, and reaching our neighbors and the nations. You see how that connects? You see that synergy of those values boiled down into what we're trying to do here at Westgate Chapel? This is the church that we're aiming to be, the church that gets biblical discipleship and actually does it. And the only way that we're going to ever accomplish this mission is that if we all do it together. Pastor Rob cannot do this on his own. The leaders of this church cannot do this on our own. The only way that this works, that this mission is fulfilled, is if every individual buys in and makes a decision to say, yes, I'm going to step forward in helping the church, and I'm going to keep on stepping forward. That's what it looks like. That's the picture in Scripture. Keep on striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. That's the disciples' call. And so what I want to do right now is I want to bring up a friend of mine named Ben Tracy. And Ben, you've got a fan in here. And Ben is a guy who has been a part of the church for over 20 years. And Ben has been gone through a lot of different seasons at Westgate and his just church involvement. And what's so cool is that Ben has, God's been doing a work in Ben and in the way he sees church and the way he's engaging in church. So I wanted to share some of Ben's story with you guys this morning. And so Ben, if you would, switch my handouts over here. I got to know Ben first when I came on staff here as a young adult pastor, and Ben was involved with young adult ministry, which was awesome. Got to know him, and he's been in that journey. And so, Ben, would you share a little bit just about the journey you've been on with church?
Yes, Mike. Thanks for having me here today.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate it. Yeah, so throughout my life, I've been engaged and less engaged in the church, kind of never making a priority, kind of looking at the picture of clock in on Sunday and clock out and go about my week and never really grow and build and stay connected. And so I just felt a little bit of disconnect and something really needed to change.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening right now who can kind of identify with that clock in, clock out. That's a very good picture. And this past summer, you and I had a conversation, and you shared that you were interested in getting more involved with the church and maybe making some change. Would you just talk with us a little bit about what led you to that point?
Yeah, so I feel that one of the biggest things that made me lead to making that change was that feeling of emptiness and just the tension of I was entering a new stage in life. I was job searching. I had just graduated as a physical therapist assistant. And trying to find a job during this pandemic season, I'm sure more than one of you know how that goes.
Brutal.
And just all the anxiety and disappointment that goes along with that. I really felt it like I need to reach out and do something different and make that change.
Yeah, it's real. And it's interesting how the pandemic has impacted so many stories. And number three, where has that decision taken you over these last few months? What's been going on in your life since you said, yes, I want to do church different?
So making that decision, it really was. I've heard you say yes like so many times to service now, and that's really what it comes down to, is saying yes to the church, to Christ, and making that commitment to support each other and not just clock in, clock out. And so one of the first things I did was make Life Group a community. I sat down with the guys and said, I'm making this a priority. You guys matter. And I even adjusted my work schedule so that I could make sure that I attended every week, because I think it was really special that we could come together and have that support through life. Second ways I started to change was see more of Christ and my relationship with him as a love relationship. And it's kind of funny that it's Valentine's Day and Pastor Rob had preached on that last week of seeing that love relationship with him. And so that led me to really get pushed to be more involved and equipped. I've been taking a perspectives class. Yeah. It's really spoke to me personally.
If you guys don't know, the Perspectives class is a class we're doing right now, talking about missional life. What does that look like? Very cool.
Yeah. It's really gotten me more involved in that missions work and excited to get more involved in that and the international student ministries that we do here.
Yeah.
I really made that commitment to join Westgate's mission of Reach One. I did the community needs survey, which was great. I've even brought people to church for the first time in all my 20 years of coming here this past season, and that's just a great way to make it my own, take ownership, and share those feelings that I have. And I even had a chance to share with someone a couple weeks ago about my relationship with God and ask them if they were a believer and if they wanted to accept Jesus, and I've never done that, and I don't think that would have been possible if I hadn't been engaged and keeping this at a priority. And it was really just special to have that time. And I might have not brought them to Christ, but I planted that seed, and that was just something that I was very nervous about, obviously, but it's still a wonderful experience.
Praise God for all that, Ben. I love that story. And I just want to, you to have a chance just to share one more thought, and that is that I imagine there's some people listening today, this morning, who maybe identify with maybe being more on the casual side, and somebody who's kind of been on both sides of the church perspective and being more casual versus being more intentional and involved. What would you say to somebody who's kind of on maybe on that point that's trying to wrestling with that right now?
First, I would just want to say I'm no expert. I have a lot to learn. I'm still seeking guidance from a lot of people here at church and looking to grow and making it part of my identity. But I would just tell them that in this time, that if you are feeling disconnected or alone today, that there's hope. God has built this wonderful support system for us, and it's called the church. And it's all about caring for each other, staying connected, praying for supporting each other through the trials, and celebrating with each other through the excitement. And I can tell you what, my life group was so excited to hear when I got my full-time PTA job, and it was absolutely an answered prayer. But in all of that, I just want to say that for me personally, that the time and commitment that I put into church and my faith really affected directly the love, support, and joy that I felt. And so just say yes and see where the Spirit leads you. That's what I'm doing now, and it's an ever-growing relationship and life to live.
Awesome. Oh, it's so cool. Would you guys thank Ben for joining us? Thank you, brother. You know, I love Ben's story, right? Ben isn't a perfect guy. We all know that. None of us are perfect people. But Ben is on a path where he is saying, yes, I'm going to intentionally keep on choosing how to figure out my life for Jesus and how that connects with my journey with the church. He's been willing to say yes to things that sound risky, and even vocalize that. He's been willing to make community a priority, and he's been willing to have honest conversations with himself about where he is today and where he wants to be in the future. And so I love Ben's modeling for us as we talk about this topic. And I want to end our service, kind of lead in our final part, by just taking a moment for us to have that kind of honest conversation with ourselves about how we are engaging in the church. And so I've created a self-assessment for us this morning, and this is something that, again, isn't some super formal, fancy thing. This is something I made just to get our brains going, but I hope it's a tool for us to just kind of think back and really reflect on how this intersects with our personal lives. And don't worry, no one's going to be looking at your answers. I know I have a little form for you on the sermon notes. If you guys are not having your sermon notes, feel free to just pull out a pad of paper or whatever as you feel led. But we're going to go through these, and no one's going to see them unless you have a Snoopy neighbor next to you. So hopefully these are anonymous and they're meant for you and the Lord. So here's the self-assessment. On a scale from 1 to 5, rate yourselves on how true the following statements are about your life. All right, 1 to 5. 1 is almost never true about me. 3 is sometimes true about me. And 5 is almost always true about me. All right, 1 to 5. All right, we're going to go through these. Number 1. When I think about my local church, I think about it as my spiritual family that I'm committed to. When I think about my local church, I think about it as my spiritual family that I'm committed to. 1 to 5. Number 2, when making decisions about my weekly schedule, I think about how my decisions will impact my involvement in the church. When making decisions about my weekly schedule, I think about how those decisions will impact my involvement in the church. Number 3, when making major life decisions, such as moving, a job change, picking a spouse, or a college, I think about how my decisions will impact my involvement in the church. Number 4, other people at church know me and help hold me accountable. Other people at church know me and help hold me accountable. Number five, I regularly look for ways to use my gifts to help minister to other believers. I regularly look for ways to use my gifts to help minister to other believers. I regularly look for ways to use my gifts to be a part of Westgate's mission to reach our neighbors and the nations. I regularly look for ways to use my gifts to be a part of Westgate's mission to reach our neighbors and the nations. Number seven, when someone I know is going through hardship, I consider how God may want me to help them. Number eight, when I look at my money and other resources, I think about how they could be used to support the church and its mission. 1 to 5. Number nine, when I see issues in the church, I consider how God may want to use me to help the church grow. Number 10, other people at church that I serve with see me as a selfless and humble team player. I hope this assessment is helpful for you. I know it's just helpful for me as I just think about just where I am, what I'm doing with the church. And maybe this is an opportunity for you just to feel really affirmed because you felt like, yes, this was a real encouragement for me. See, I feel happy about some of the numbers. Maybe there's still some room to grow. But I think that for a lot of us, there might be one or maybe many of these answers where you feel like, yeah, the Lord really wants me to maybe do something, to change something, to be more involved, to be considering life a little bit differently. And I hope you're hearing today that that growth only happens when we take individual ownership of it. As Ben says, when we say yes. And the reality is that being invested in part of the church isn't gonna be easy. It's not gonna be easy. It's gonna be something that stretches us. It's gonna be something that feels risky at times. It's gonna take commitment. It's gonna be something that defies every value that society has at a core level because it's not about us, it's about others. And I also want to say that there is no doubt in my mind that that investment of our time, our energy, our abilities, our resources, and most importantly, our hearts towards the church are going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it because that is the life that God has designed for us to live, and there is no better life than life with Jesus Christ doing the things that he desires. And so church, as we close out our time together this morning, I just want to leave you with one simple thought, and that is that our church, Westgate Chapel, will be whatever we make of it. It'll be whatever we make of it. And yes, God is in ultimate control of this church, but he has chosen us to play a foundational part of what this looks like. Our church has the potential to diminish into a congregation of pew sitters who only show up occasionally on Sundays and aren't really engaged. Or we can be that beautiful family that I was talking about, where people are loved and known. We can be a body of worshipers that worship with every part of our lives. We can be a force for Christ in the way we love our local community. We can be a team of believers who are marching side by side for the faith of the gospel. We can be real biblical disciples in a real biblical church that is so exciting, that are sold out for Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that our church would be filled with these people, committed to the kingdom work, committed to walking with the Spirit, side by side, day after day. And so the question I want us all to answer, because we all have a part to play, is are we willing to buy in? Are we willing to take ownership? And are we willing to be a committed part of the church? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for the church. Wow, what a blessing that you would give your life so that the church could exist and that we could be a part of it, God. That isn't something that is so that we should ever take for granted, God. That is profoundly cool, and it is something that it should transform all of us at a core level, God. And I pray right now that as we just process the information and the message and the passages that we've been talking about, Lord, that you would just meet us in our hearts and that you would encourage us to just have a real honest sense of look at ourselves, Lord, about the things that maybe where we are today and maybe the things that you want us to grow in and move towards in the future as we think about what it means to be disciples and what it means to be a part of your church. God, this is the best life possible, and I just pray that our family would just be journeying together every day, ever more towards this, because we want to do this with you. There's nothing more exciting than that, God. So Lord, as we worship, Lord, I just pray you'd give us hearts to sing and hearts to talk with you and hearts to connect as we just process what we've been talking about and we meet with you, God. We thank you for this time. Amen.
Together, strange as neighbors, our blood is one. Children of generations, of every nation, of kingdom come. Don't let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up high, fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where our help comes from. Your heart be troubled. Hold your head up high. Fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where our help comes from.
I get pumped up getting to worship together. Isn't that just an awesome thing? Yeah.
Swing wide all you heavens. Let the praise go up as the walls come down. All creation, everything with breath, repeat the sound. All his children, clean hands, pure hearts, good grace, good God. His name is Jesus.
Yeah.
Swing wide, all you heavens. Let the praise go up as the walls come down. All creation, everything with breath, repeat the sound. All his children. Everything with salvation is in his blood. Oh, Jesus, light of heaven, friend forever, his kingdom come.
Yes.
Worshiping with you guys just warms my heart. And I love the voices. I love just thinking about all the people that make up this church family and the blessing that it is personally in my life to be a part of this. And I love Westgate Chapel. And I pray that we just keep on growing together as disciples who are part of this church. If you guys are looking for prayer this morning as you leave, feel free to come out these doors. If you're here with us today and head down the hall to the right, there is our prayer room where we have some elders and our deaconesses ready to pray with anybody who's interested. As well, if you're online joining us on live stream, you can send in any prayers to prayer@westgatechapel.org. Send those emails in. We'd love to pray for you. If you'd like to worship through giving on your way out, you'll see some baskets and you can drop any offering in that you feel led to give that way as well online. westgatechapel.org, you'll see many opportunities for you to just click that give button. And so we thank you, church, for being here. We thank you guys for being awesome. And we love you. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Take care.